Good morning. It's January 23rd, 2021, and I call the special board meeting of the Roland Unified School District Board of Education to order. It is now 9 a.m. Dr. Mitchell, will you please do roll call?
Yes. Eric Venegas?
Here.
David Malkin?
Present.
Carrie Chen?
Here.
Lynn Ebenkamp?
Here.
Angelina Pride?
Present.
All board members are present.
Thank you. Next, we'll have the adoption of the agenda of the special board meeting of Saturday, January 23rd, 2021. Are there any changes to the agenda?
None from staff.
Okay, then can I have a motion to adopt the agenda of the special board meeting of Saturday, January 23rd, 2021?
I move we adopt this agenda.
I have a motion by Ms. Ebenkamp.
I'll second.
I have a second by Mr. Venegas. Any discussion? And we'll take a roll call vote. Carrie Chen?
Aye.
Lynn Ebenkamp?
Yes.
David Malkin?
Aye.
Eric Venegas?
Aye.
And Angelina Pride is an aye. The motion carries. Next, we'll have the flag salute. And Lynn, why don't you lead us in the flag salute?
Okay. Stand up here. It's bittersweet today, but please stand, put your right hand over your heart, and repeat with me. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for letting me do that, Mrs. Price.
No worries. Thank you for doing that. Okay, let's see. Let me get back to my place here. So we did our flag salute. Next, we have public comments. Written requests to address the board must, we know they've been received. So I know that we have a public comment today. So please note the public is welcome to provide comment to the board. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes unless extended or limited by the vote of the board. A maximum of 20 minutes unless extended by the board is allocated for each subject discussed. The Brown Act open meeting regulations under which the board must operate do not allow board members to comment on non-agenda items or information you may bring up that are not on the agenda. Additionally, no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a comment. Ms. Wart, the first public comment?
Yes, the first public comment is Mr. Roy Humphreys.
Mr. Humphreys, you have the mic.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, I want to thank you for all the good things you do, as always, and we must thank Ms. Pride and Ebenkamp for seeing the ways and allowing for the day of reckoning for the wrong that was committed by the voters of the district and their rights denied in 2018. Also, we must realize that this is a vital change to allow this district to achieve what it can possibly in representing the total aspect of the district, and where transparency and integrity are as transparency is defined by law and the constituents. And also we must, my suggestion and a vote is for to have a special election for both to allow and engage the entire aspect of those two areas to get involved and to educate them and have them participate where this was denied in the last process. As far as the education responsibilities of this educational institution. And also, should that be denied for the first trustee area, I nominate William Harrison, who is eminently qualified for the position, has long been active in the district and deserves to have a representation on this board and in this district to bring it to a new level. And that's all we could do is ask for Mr. Chen to also resign so we could make this full circle and just do the right thing. You know, make people feel good about doing the right thing in these trying times. And it is going to be a trying time. And it's, if I fail to mention, the only thing that's guaranteed with change is opportunity. And we hope that opportunity will be well spent. Thank you very much.
Ms. Ward, are there any additional public comments today?
No, there is not.
Thank you. Next, we'll move on to discussion action items. The board will be discussing and taking action to fill board, we'll have a discussion on taking action to fill board vacancies by appointment or special election. Can I have a motion and a second to discuss and take action to fill the two upcoming board vacancies by appointment or special election? I need a motion.
Okay.
I have a motion by Mr. Chen.
I'll second.
And a second by Mr. Malkin. Discussion?
Would you like me to share some information to start, Ms. Pride?
That would be wonderful. Thank you, Dr. Mitchell.
Yeah, no problem. I will share my screen. So good morning, everyone. This is an opportunity for the board at this meeting today to make a determination on how they feel best to fill the two trustee vacancies that are in Trustee Area 1 and Trustee Area 5. Just to start, you know, a vacancy has been determined to be in both trustees based on the letter of resignations that have been submitted by both Angelina Pride and Lynn Ebenkamp. And the definition of vacancy is described in Education Code 5090. The timeline, our board has 60 days from the date of the vacancy or the filing of the deferred resignation in which to make a provisional appointment or to call a special election to fill the vacancy, thus the need for our meeting this morning. There are three ways for a vacancy to be filled. The board has two choices. The third is not a choice for the board. The three scenarios include a provisional appointment, a special election, or a petition for special election. And I'll explain the three. So the first is the provisional appointment. Within a provisional appointment, the board first would announce the vacancy in a local newspaper and or on the website where the district typically announces business. So for us, we advertise in the San Gabriel Valley Tribune, as well as on our marquee, within our district website, through social media. We would solicit applications for the positions for both Trustee Area 1 and Trustee Area 5, and we would have defined dates as to when those applications would be accepted. The applications would then be completed by all prospective candidates, and it is a requirement that those who are interested for the position complete their own application. A subcommittee of less than a quorum of the board and staff would review the applications to qualify candidates for interviews. The qualification review would include a check for residency to verify eligibility based on the trustee area to confirm that those who are interested in the position do in fact live within Trustee Area 1 or Trustee Area 5, and to check that the applicants have submitted responsive applications themselves and have an interest in running or being considered, for provisional appointment. The board then interviews all candidates who qualify at a scheduled board meeting, and it is done in open session. All candidates should be asked the same questions to allow everyone to respond and for the board to be able to take in all of the information. Any board deliberation about who to appoint, including whether or not to reduce the pool of applicant to finalists and have a second interview, must be conducted in open session. The board votes on the candidate to fill the vacancy, again, in open session. So all deliberation, all conversation regarding this is an open session discussion. The selected candidate is sworn in and takes office either immediately or on a subsequent date. So after the candidate's selected and has taken the oath, we would have the responsibility of submitting that information to update our board roster and to LACO for filing. The board then also has the responsibility to announce to the community using all of our typical communication channels who was appointed within 10 days of that appointment. So those are the steps to the board would take if the board opts today to move to provisional appointment to fill the vacancy for Trustee Area 1 and Trustee Area 5. The second scenario, the second choice the board has today, is to select to go to a special election. When an election is ordered, it shall be held, and this is Education Code, on the next established election date, not less than 130 days after the order of an election. So the board again has 60 days to make this decision. And at that point, they would schedule an election at the next established election date, which is not less than 130 days from today. So in doing so, we would notify the county superintendent of schools, again, no later than 60 days after the vacancy, of the decision to fill by special election. The election would be held at the next established election date. And for us, the election of current vacancies would likely be held on November 2nd, 2021. All election costs are paid by the district. It's estimated to be approximately $150,000 per trustee area, so $300,000 in total as an estimate, only if the election is held in a consolidated election date, such as November 2nd, 2021. So back in terms of a special election, that would leave our board positions vacant if the board elects to do a special election today and provide that direction to the county superintendent. The Trustee Area 1 and Trustee Area 5 positions would be vacant until after November 2nd, when the election could be certified, the candidate could be confirmed by the Registrar of Voters, and then sworn into office. So there would be a lengthy period of time where we would be operating with a three-member board. The third scenario, which is not a choice of the board, is a petition for special election. If a provisional appointment is made within the 60 days, so if the board opts for the first option, scenario one, to do a provisional appointment, the registered voters of the district may, within 30 days of the date of the appointment, petition to conduct a special election to fill the vacancy. The valid petition requires signatures of at least 1.5% of the registered voters of a district on the date of the last regular election for governing board members. This would be done looking at Trustee Area 1 separate from Trustee Area 5. The petition must also disclose the potential costs of a special election while and prior to gathering any signatures, so that the community was aware what the potential costs would be to the district for a special election. A completed petition is filed with the county superintendent within 30 days, who then will verify signatures and has 30 days to determine the petition's legal status. Upon the determination that the petition stands, the provisional appointment would be terminated and a special election is called for and is conducted no later than 130 days after determination. If a special election cannot be consolidated within a regular election date, which in this case would not, because it could not wait 130 days, is too few days to get us to November 2nd. So it would not be able to be consolidated with a regular election date. A standalone special election would be called on a unique date with no other elections are being held. This is particularly costly election scenario, since no other jurisdiction is able to share costs on a consolidated election. The candidate obviously receiving the most votes would serve for the remainder of the term. The term is up in 2022. If a petition is determined to be insufficient, the appointment stands and the person holding the seat will continue to serve. So there are three scenarios, two of which the board has today to discuss and to provide direction to staff on how to proceed. I'll take any questions.
Okay, I'm gonna start with Mr. Venegas.
Have we had experience with this in the past, and what choices do we do with something like that?
So in my time in the Roland Unified School District, we have not done this prior, and I do not know of any history in our district where we have needed to do this. In my professional career, I have needed to do this on one other occasion. We had the passing of a board member at one point, and the board at that time, different school district, different situation, elected to go with a provisional appointment.
Thank you.
Mr. Malkin?
On the signatures, it says 1.5%. Would that be 1.5% of each trustee area, or can you get them all from one trustee area?
No, it is. They're taken separately. So for instance, if the board were to take a provisional appointment for trustee area one and a provisional appointment for trustee area five, it could be that one could be petitioned and one may not be petitioned. They are done separately. And so it is separate, trustee area one, separate from trustee area five. And it's 1.5% of the registered voters who voted in the last governing board election.
So technically you could have an election in one trustee area and an appointment in the other trustee area.
That is correct. That could occur.
Additional questions? Okay, I have a few questions. One of the things when you spoke about getting the word out for whatever decision the board makes today, one of the things I would like to see if we can do is during the regular election, we actually held an information session for people to be able to ask questions of current seated board members about being a board member. And I know that some people did engage, including Mr. Venegas. I would like to see us do that again as well to give people the opportunity to ask questions.
Absolutely, we can do that. Sure.
And then just to clarify, if somebody wants to, let's say we agree for an appointment, and if somebody wanted to be appointment, only that individual can file their paperwork, right? Like I couldn't say, oh, I want my neighbor Jim to be on the board and I could file paperwork to say, put Jim on the board. Jim would have to file that himself, right?
That is correct. And that's part as well. Yes, Ms. Pride, that's correct. And that's also part of what the subcommittee would do in qualification of applications is to make sure that the application was completed by the candidate themselves.
And then just to make it clear, if we go for an election, then we're looking at a cost around $300,000 in addition to being with only three board members from March through, they wouldn't be able to be sworn in until December, or would they be sworn in? Yeah. So from March.
Yeah, they potentially could be sworn in earlier, but the registrar of voters would need to verify. And having our last election with Mr. Malkin and Mr. Venegas, the registrar of voters did take until early December to be able to verify that the election. So I would say it would probably be around the second week of December at the earliest.
So we're looking at approximately $300,000 going out from the district to pay for the election. We're looked to be in without a board member for basically 8 months, without two board members for 8 months. And then we're looking at the cost to the individuals who want to run for those positions for their campaign, because I assume that they would still have to pay campaign filing fees and then whatever they do for their campaign as well.
That is correct.
So we're looking at a lot of expenses, not just for the district, but for those individuals who might want to participate in that process. And then I'm very concerned about only having three board members for 8 months, knowing how this board works and the reasons for having a five-member board to get full discussion, and to make sure that we get different insights into the things that we have to address is very concerning, only having three members for 8 months. Then I have a question. The special election you said would cost us more. Do we know, are we looking at, like, if somebody petitioned, are we looking at double the cost, triple the cost? Because we wouldn't be able to split that cost with anybody. I'm sorry.
Unfortunately, I don't have that cost estimate. The Registrar of Voters requires a special letter in order to investigate those potential costs, because what they would do is it takes a tremendous amount of staff time for them to estimate those costs. And it would also be their determination whether how that election would run, because they would need to staff the polls and so on and so forth, or determine if it's an all mail-in election, et cetera. So they just simply said in my conversation with them that it has the potential of being significantly more expensive, because there is no cost sharing. 100% of the cost of all of their staff time, all of the postage, all of that is borne upon the district. And in addition to that, to your point, Ms. Pride, is should there be a petition to call for an election by a registered voter in either of the trustee areas, then those candidates who are interested in running would also need to campaign. So there would be additional costs for the candidates in any type of an election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm looking at the cost. If it's going to be $150,000 as a shared cost between different, you know, communities and, you know, municipalities and county and state and all those people who might have something on the ballot, I can only imagine what it would cost if it's just us. Mm-hmm. So that's another concern. And I just have one more question, or I need clarification. If there was an appointment and then there was a petition filed, mm-hmm. and we only had the three board members, and let's say the petition was validated and we had to have an election, and we only had three board members, did you say that election could not happen by November 2nd?
It must happen prior to November 2nd. So if there were, if we do a provisional appointment and one or both of those trustee areas are petitioned, that petition is validated. At what point that petition is validated, then there's the election must be held within 130 days of that date. So if we were to estimate it out, we have 60 days to fill the position by provisional appointment. The provisional appointment, they have 30 days from the date of an announcement to gather signatures. The Registrar of Voters has another 30 days to validate those signatures. So we could be at this point 120 days out from today. And then there would be a 130 days from that date when the Registrar of Voters has validated the signatures, the election must be held within 130 days. So it doesn't align with any other election date.
So we would be looking possibly even further then, if we used the full 60 days for an appointment, the petition time to file the petition, and then to wait for the registrar to certify that petition and tell us we have to have an election, then we're going out even further, huh?
So just, I'm going to make fictitious dates because it makes it easier for us to gather. So if an appointment is made on March 1st, a challenge is submitted April 1st, the signatures are validated May 1st, an election must be held 130 days from May 1st.
Okay, so it would be fall still.
Yes.
And so we would have to go through all of that process and all of that cost for someone to only be seated from that time until November 22.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of cost for a short amount of time.
And that's, again, not a decision for the board today, but it is.
Right. Yeah. But I'm saying even with the election, even if we decide to go with an election, that's a lot of cost to go through to make someone campaign, for us to pay for an election, to have somebody seated for only until 2022. And then that person have to reinvest all that money again, should they choose to run again. That's a lot. Okay. I'm sorry. I had lots of questions. Lynn, Ms. Ebbenkamp, I saw your hand.
Just one quick one. If the board chooses to appoint, mm-hmm. and then that seat is contested, does the appointed member serve until the election?
No. The appointed member serves up until a point where the Registrar of Voters and the county superintendent verify an adequate number of signatures on the petition. at that point, the appointed board member is unseated and that seat runs vacant until an election is held and that elected person is certified by the county.
Thanks.
Mr. Chin?
Yeah, for the county to count the valid petitions, is there any time? Because sometimes they take a long time to count it. Is there any limit of time they have to count it for so many days or so? So any limit of time they have to do it? Otherwise, we have no control of how long they take to count it.
30 days. The county has the petition must be received within the petition and all signatures must be received within 30 days. And then the registrar of voters and the county superintendent have 30 days to validate those signatures. Mm-hmm. So there is a definitive time.
Okay.
Mr. Malkin.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, from my recent experience, I was running unopposed with the potential that there could be a write-in. And my campaign, you know, they say it's very inexpensive. You just go down and sign up. But then if you want your statement published, it's $400 in English, $400 in Spanish. Then I bought some signs. Then I had flyers. So running unopposed with a potential write-in, it cost me well over $1,000. And what I'm thinking is that if we do an appointment, then the application process doesn't cost anything. And the possibility of getting a larger pool would be greater because more people could apply that could not afford the $1,000. So I'm just thinking that, you know, we're opening the door for a larger pool by having an appointment versus an election. An election kind of limits the number of people that can run because of the cost, and especially in the economy nowadays. A lot of people are unemployed. They're you know, having difficulty paying their bills, yet they could still run for school board because there'd be no cost associated with it. So I just think it's a win-win situation for the candidate, for the pool, and for the school district when you do an appointment versus an election.
And to piggyback on what Mr. Malkin said, even with the senior citizens that are on fixed incomes, we have a lot of people whose children went through the district and they've remained active at their local schools, you know, volunteering, who may also want to throw their hat in the ring. And if I'm on a fixed income and I have to choose between spending, you know, $1,500 to participate versus being able to do it without costs, then that would definitely make a difference. We could lose out on some good people over the cost.
I think one of the issues that I raised early on and why I requested this Saturday meeting over next week is a three board member is a concern to me, right? I think it'd be better to have a five board member. It's just two individuals now that could lobby for a task or to move something. And I really do like having more board members, and I think it's better for the community and for the kids. So getting somebody in quicker, I think is a benefit and a plus. And knowing that those positions will be up for election in 2022. I think, you know, there's a cost associated with it. I think it's getting people in quicker is gonna be a benefit to us and to the children.
And to add to what Mr. Venegas said, you know, not only would we have to pay that cost this year, but then we'd have to turn around and pay it again next year for the regular cycle election, correct, Dr. Mitchell?
That is correct, yeah. So for November 22, mm-hmm. There will be an election, and anyone who is appointed will need to run in that election. And yes, we do have a cost to that as a district and as a candidate.
And thank you for clarifying that. I assumed that they were going to have to run in 2022, but so we appoint them now, they have to run in 2022.
Yeah.
And the system was set up for a 5-person board. It's not a good system, as Mr. Venegas said, to go such a long period, so many months with only a 3-member board. Remember with the Brown system, you can talk to one person. Well, two people could talk to each other and decide what they want to do. And that would be the vote of the board, the majority. So it's a very bad way to go.
Very, very good point, Ms. Ebbingkamp, regarding the Brown Act. That's a very good point.
For point of clarification on that, in a three-member board, you could not speak to even one person, just to clarify, because you would be speaking to a quorum.
So, that's good.
I just want to clarify that. It is based on the number. Because we have a five-member board, you are able to speak with one person. But if we were to go to a three-member board, even temporarily, you would not be able to do that. Just to clarify.
Thank you for that clarification.
Yeah, we can leave the board for only three members if the three member will represent the whole district for almost a year and a half of time. And also it cost $300,000 for to choose the election and the cost of the candidate to run. I think my opinion of provisional appointment is very clear. It's the only choice now.
Any additional comments, questions, concerns? Okay, so I had a motion and a second. Are we ready to take a, oh no, I didn't have a motion.
And we need to clarify.
I'm sorry. So any further discussion before we move forward for a vote? Are you guys ready for a vote? No more questions. This is your opportunity.
And what will explain what the vote will be, because the motion was to do one or the other. Is that what we're going to do now? Vote for one or the other?
The motion was just to have a discussion.
Okay.
So next we will have a motion for whatever someone wants to motion, whether to have an election or an appointment. So that's what we would have next. And that's why I want to make sure that there's no additional questions, concerns, comments that any board member would like to make before we move to that point. Because once we make our decision, then Dr. Mitchell will be moving forward with that action. So Mr. Venegas, you're good, no questions?
Yes.
Mr. Malkin?
I just want to thank Dr. Mitchell for presenting that slide presentation in a very short notice.
Yes. Mr. Chin, any further questions?
No more questions.
Ms. Ebbingkamp? Okay. So then can I have a motion and a second?
Can I correct for one minute?
Wait, I have to amend the first motion. I'm sorry. So, Ms. Who is it? Mr. Chin and Mr. Malkin, I think. Was it Dr. Mitchell? Was it Mr. Chin and Mr. Malkin?
Yes.
Okay. So then can I have you amend your motion to take action to fill the two upcoming board vacancies by?
Mr. Chin.
Yes. I withdraw my motion and amend it to the motion to from discussion to make the choice.
Okay, and Mr. Malkin, you withdrew yours as well, right?
Yes, I think we would have to, wouldn't the motion have to state that?
You would amend your motion to state whatever your
appointment of
your pleasure is.
And then what the trustee areas are that were.
So if I can interject, you can amend the motion, you can pull the motion off the floor and someone else can make a motion for a specific action. So Mr. Chen, you either need to amend your motion, so change it with a specific action, or pull it.
I amend the motion.
To do what
action? So what?
I amend a motion. I amend a motion to change the discussion to say it one more time to see.
So Mr. Chen, we need for you to either amend your motion to be a specific action, either to go for a provisional appointment or an election, or you can simply pull your
I amend my motion for provisional appointment. I made my motion from discussion and change to professional appointment.
Appointment.
I would say
for which trustee areas?
For trustee one and trustee five.
Thank you. Okay, so I have a motion from Mr. Chen for the board to take action to fill the two upcoming board vacancies by appointment for trustees areas one and trustee area five. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
I have a second by Mr. Venegas. We'll take a roll call vote. Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebbingkamp?
Yes.
Mr. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Venegas?
Aye.
And Ms. Pride is an aye. So the amended motion carries. So Dr. Mitchell, you have your direction now on how to move forward, and just keep us abreast of each step so we'll know what to do and the community as well.
Thank you. Yes, staff and I will begin working on it this weekend, and we will be prepared to present information on Monday.
Staff must take a day off this weekend.
Okay, we will.
They are not to work the entire weekend. That is a directive from the board.
Well taken. It will be later on Monday, but we will have information.
Sounds good.
I do agree with Ms. Pride that the more we can get information out into the community, the better, you know, we'll get the better pool of candidates we'll get.
Right. Absolutely. Okay.
For purposes of minutes, before we conclude our meeting, I just want to verify with Mrs. Chapman that on that first, when we were amending, Mr. Chen amended his, and I believe that Mr. Malkin rescinded his second. And I want to make sure that that occurred, because I missed that in my notes. Did we capture that correctly, Mrs. Chapman?
Yes, I believe so. There was a pause on my end where the screen froze. So if I could clarify that as well, but I believe that's what I had taken place.
Okay.
Mr. Mount, just to be on the safe side, why don't we just do it again to be on the safe side? This issue is too important for us to have a technicality derail it. So if it's the pleasure of the board, I think that we should redo that just to make sure for the record that all information is noted correctly.
Thank you.
Okay, so then Mr. Chen, can you repeat your motion again, please?
Yes, I
And I'm sorry, this is the motion to take action to fill the two upcoming board vacancies. Mr. Chen will amend his original motion.
Well, Ms. Pride?
Yes.
I think the question is, did I rescind my second on his first motion?
Okay, so did you rescind your motion, Mr. Malkin?
No, I didn't.
Okay, how would you like to rescind or pull your motion?
Well, if we want to redo it, Mr. Chen would have to say that he rescinds his motion for discussion, and then I would rescind my second.
Okay, so Mr. Chen, did you want to rescind your original motion?
I rescind my original motion for discussion.
And then Mr. Malkin?
I rescind my second of the original motion.
Thank you. So if you've both rescinded, we can start fresh, right?
Correct.
That is correct. Right.
So then can I have a motion and a second to take action to fill the two upcoming board vacancies by?
And I make a motion to fill the vacancy by provisional appointment.
For what trustee area?
For trustee one and trustee area five.
So I have a motion by Mr. Chen to take action to fill the two upcoming board vacancies by appointment for trustees area one and trustee area five. May I have a second?
I'll second.
I have a second by Mr. Venegas. We'll take a roll call vote. Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebbingkamp?
Yes.
Mr. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Venegas?
Aye.
And Ms. Pride is an aye. The motion carries. Thank you, Dr. Mitchell. I want to make sure that this is all done correctly. This is the first time doing this, and I apologize for the stumbling blocks that we've encountered here, both on my part, So thank you for your patience and understanding. So we have it right now. And Dr. Mitchell, you have your direction, and board has direction that they must not work all weekend. So with that, can I have a motion and a second to adjourn the special board meeting of the Roland Unified School District Board of Education?
I'll let Ms. Ebenkamp make that motion.
I move we adjourn the special meeting of Roland Unified School District.
I have a motion by Ms. Ebenkamp. May I get a second? I'll second. I'm following you now, David. I'm following you. I'll second. So on a motion by Ms. Ebenkamp and a second by Ms. Pride, we'll now take a roll call vote to adjourn the meeting. Mr. Kerry Chin?
Aye.
Lynn Ebenkamp?
Yes.
David Malkin?
Aye.
Eric Venegas?
Aye.
And Angelina Pride is an aye. So motion carries. Meeting is adjourned at 9:41 a.m. Everyone have a good weekend. Stay indoors and be safe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.